RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening. As always, we got a jam-packed show here for you this morning. Lots to talk about. NASCAR in Bristol, IndyCar at Pocono, lots of local racing stuff to cover, and we'll all try to squeeze it in here over this next hour. Of course, phone lines are open, 803-0551, 888-550-2550 are the phone lines if you want to chime in about anything going on in the world of motorsports. Also, you can send us a tweet at FastTrack550 and Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. Coming up on today's program, we're going to talk about the Kyle Busch Bristol sweep part two. Second time Kyle Busch has swept the weekend at Bristol, winning the Truck, Xfinity, and Cup Series races. And a pretty good race last night there at Bristol compared to some of the other recent ones. I thought it was a very entertaining race. Good battle throughout the show. The stage racing helped liven up, you know, the first half of the race, and Kyle Busch drove it like he stole it to get the win over Eric Jones last night. We'll talk about that, including we'll talk about it with Jerry Jordan from the Performance Racing Network and kickinthetires.net. Jerry will join us at quarter past the hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, how about this? We've got reigning Indianapolis 500 champion Takuma Sato is going to join us at 11:35. He is in Pocono, Pennsylvania for today's IndyCar race at the Tricky Triangle, and Takuma is going to join us live from Pocono, hopefully around 11:35. It might be a few minutes delayed depending on how long the driver's meeting goes at Pocono, but we are going to, at some point this morning, talk to Takuma as the IndyCar Series running today at Pocono, the ABC Supply 500, which you can catch on NBC Sports Network today. Actually, what am I talking about? You can catch it right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 today as well. We will have live coverage from the IMS Radio Network today on WGR. So as an added bonus, you can catch IndyCar action today here on WGR as Takuma is on the pole for today's race at Pocono as well. So how about that? In a span of 3 weeks, we've had the two most recent Indy 500 winners on the program. We talked to Alexander Rossi, Watkins Glen, and now we're talking to this year's Indy 500 winner, Takuma Sato, at the bottom of the hour. Also, coming up in this hour, special in-studio guest, he's champing at the bit to be on the show, Jody London, local racer, local racing promoter. He has got a big deal coming up this Friday night at the Spencer Speedway out near Rochester, a huge race for super stock cars, and it's probably the biggest super stock race of the year. And Jody's going to talk about that a little bit later on. Also, if we got time, talk to Patrick Emmerling last night at Lancaster following last night's Race of Champions Modified Series event. Of course, Patrick scoring a huge win Wednesday night also at Bristol as he won his first ever NASCAR Modified Tour race at the Great Coliseum. And I had a chance to catch up with Patrick about that last night at Lancaster, so that'll be coming up later on in this hour as well, too. But we start talking about last night's race at Bristol. Kyle Busch getting the win to complete the sweep, and you know what? As much as you know, a lot of talk about restricting cup driver action in the truck and Xfinity series. It's still cool when you, something like this, and it doesn't happen often. Only the second time Kyle's done it, second time ever. But to see someone dominate like that and just run so well, three races, three wins, what an accomplishment for Kyle Busch. It was cool when he did in 2010, and it was equally as cool when he did it this weekend at the Bristol Motor Speedway, and I loved it. Him getting out of the car, the bow, of course, getting the broom out and sweeping the roof of the race car, tons of fun. You know, he plays right into the fans. He loves it. He's like he said, any noise is good noise, whether they're cheering or booing. He doesn't care as long as they're making noise, and he plays up that role pretty well. But what a drive last night for Kyle Busch. You know, he's running fourth with 85 laps to go. And, you know, to drive by Kenseth and you know, drive by Larson to get to Eric Jones, and then had to get around Eric Jones. And Eric was having a heck of a race. Thought maybe he'd get his first career win last night. Started on the pole, led more than half of the laps last night in the 77 car. But Kyle got by him there late and drove away during the final, that last green flag stretch there at the end, to pick up the victory. And a pretty good race at Bristol last night. Of course, the grip strip was back there on the bottom, the PJ1, the traction compound, whatever you want to call it. And that certainly helps. It makes that bottom lane viable. But you saw the top come in as well, too. I mean, you saw Kyle Larson use that a lot. A lot of guys were using that outside line. It came in to play there at the end of the first stage. How about the end of the first stage? Kyle Larson and Busch going side by side for the lead, trying to knife their way through the lap cars. You know, these guys want these playoff points, and that's the reason why NASCAR put the stage formats into play this year, was to kind of liven up the middle sections of the race, because instead of guys maybe riding at lap 125, you know, last night they were going at almost as hard as they would at the end of the race, trying to get those playoff points and just racing tooth and nail. It was a great battle, and it showed why they put the stage formats in this year, to kind of add a little more excitement to the middle portions of the race. So I thought it was pretty good. Great run, though, for Eric Jones last night. And, again, just some of these great young drivers we've got in the Cup Series. And another one looking to break through for his first career win. But he is finished second last night. Denny Hamlin finishing third. Matt Kenseth fourth to give Toyota the top four sweep. Kenseth was in the hunt there. He had gotten up to second late before Kyle got back by him. And Kenseth trying so hard to get that win to lock himself into the playoffs. And he really would have been in danger had Eric Jones won last night, because that would have put another winner into the playoffs and another that one fewer spots for drivers and making in on points. So really for Kenseth, for these last couple of races, Darlington and Richmond, he would just rather hope that some other guys that have already won this year win races, or he himself wins, because anybody else winning really could put himself in jeopardy. Although, because of his good runs last couple of weeks, the runner-up finish at the Glen, fourth at last night at Bristol, you know, now Kenseth has even gotten himself off the bubble for the playoff chase. He's put Jamie McMurray now on the bubble for that final spot in on points. And he's right behind Chase Elliott, too. Elliott's got 711 points. Kenseth is eight back of Elliott. And then you've got McMurray now three behind Kenseth. Luckily for Jamie McMurray, though, he's got about a 58-point lead over Clint Bowyer. So he's got a nice cushion, more than a race's worth of points. So he'll really have to falter. Or if somebody like a... unless it's Elliott or Kenseth, anybody else gets their first win of the season, McMurray will be out of the playoffs for sure. If, you know, someone like an Eric Jones, a Daniel Suarez, a Joey Logano, of course, wins in these last couple of races in the regular season, McMurray's playoff season is going to go down the tubes, because he would be the first one on the outside looking in when it came to the points. Round out of the top five last night, Kurt Busch made a late charge to bring it home. Top five, of course, Kurt still looking to sure up his ride for 2018. Ryan Newman, Trevor Bayne, good run last night, finishing seventh. Harvick, Kyle Larson was a factor early on, led 70 laps, but wound up ninth. And then Ryan Blaney had a good run, finishing 10th. Other notable names in the field, Jimmy Johnson coming home 11th. McMurray wound up 12th. Joey Logano, 13th. Suarez, 15th. Clint Bowyer could have used a better night. Unfortunately, he finished 19th last night. Dale Earnhardt Jr. finishing 23rd in his final start at Bristol. And Brad Keselowski, he had some trouble early, some damage in a flat tire, put him like 3-4 laps down early on in the race, and just kind of had to ride it out. He wound up 29th last night at Bristol. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. But you look at the points, and really, it's going to come down to who is, it's going to come down to wins or playoff points. And really, if say at Darlington and Richmond, it's, a Truex wins again, or Larson or Harvick, anybody that's got a win already, if they win, then your playoff field is kind of set. But again, it'll all come down to somebody that's not in on points, already has a win, getting a win in these last two regular season races that could really shake things up and put the squeeze on someone like a Jamie McMurray or a Matt Kenseth. And that's the fun about the playoff system. Keeps things interesting right throughout the regular season. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. But the Kyle Busch, again, it was a ton of fun to see him win and play up to the fact that he is, he's got plenty of his haters out there, and has his fan base as well too. And he, when he loses, he doesn't take it well, but when he wins, he has a lot of fun with it too. I mean, this morning on social media, his wife Samantha tweeted out a video. She and Kyle were driving through one of the campgrounds there at Bristol. And they stopped by this camper, and it looked like everybody around was sleeping, but they had a Kyle Busch flag hanging outside their camper. So Kyle stops the car that they're driving. He gets out and stands up on he's got the window rolled down, and he manages to balance himself while standing on the window of the vehicle he's driving, stands up there to reach the Kyle Busch flag hanging at this camper, and manages to sign an autograph on the flag while the people inside the camper have no idea what's going on. They're asleep or not there or whatever, but I thought that was pretty wild that Kyle does that. And that's the fun side of Kyle. That is when he is in a good mood and wins, he is he's got a great personality. But unfortunately, there's the two sides of Kyle. When he loses, he's a sore loser, and there's not much you can say about that. He's just a very tough competitor. He blows off his media responsibilities, or he did the mic drop interview, I think, what was that, at Charlotte for the 600, where he just said the one statement and then dropped the mic and walked out. He does not like to lose, but when he wins, he is a ton of fun, and he's got a kind of two sides to him. But I still think that villain role that he plays, I still think, is great for the sport, and is going to be one of these guys that needs to lead NASCAR into this next generation, with Dale Jr. now retiring, with the departures of the Gordons and the Stewarts and everything. Kyle's going to have to be one of those personalities that leads us into the next generation, while the William Byrons and the Eric Joneses and Daniel Suarez develop into top flight stars and get to the mainstream race fans, learn about them and pick them up as their favorites. Kyle and guys like Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, they're going to bridge that gap from this current generations of stars that have retired. And that includes guys like Jimmy Johnson and Matt Kenseth. And again, bridge that gap to the next generation of stars in the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series. Right now, let's go to the AT&T hotline and bring in, from the Performance Racing Network and also kickinthetires.net, want to welcome Jerry Jordan to the program. Jerry, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you.
Good morning. It was a late night last night at Bristol Motor Speedway, but we're on the road, headed back to the house for the off weekend. Good to be on the air.
Well, you guys got done 2 hours before we did at my short track last night, Jerry. We had a rain delay at the short track I was working at last night. You guys got done, I think it was like 10:30. We got done at 12:30. So I know you had post race stuff to do too, but you guys got a 2 hour head start on us.
Well, you can't do anything about the rain. Luckily, we did have a little bit of rain at Bristol earlier in the week, but last night was picture perfect race weather, and I did stay post race. I didn't get out of there till about 2:30 in the morning, but that's okay. We had a great race, and you know, I kind of picked Kyle to win it. He'd been dominant all week, and he was a favorite going into the end of the night.
It was. I thought it was a great race. Again, the combination of kind of everything, the grip strip, the stage formats and everything, Jerry, all of that combined, and it made for a pretty good Bristol show, one of the better Bristol races in the last couple of years.
I would agree. You know, there were times when it you know, obviously Eric Jones got out there and led the most laps, and he was but he's a rookie and he was dominating, and you know, he was holding off the guy who basically went and found him and helped bring his career to the Cup Series. So, you know, the fact that Kyle Busch won should not be overlooked by the fact that Eric Jones did his darndest to beat his former boss and next year teammate.
Yeah, Eric drove a heck of a race, and I think we've been seeing a really good maturation process from both he and Daniel Suarez. You know, they both maybe had a little slow start to their season, especially Suarez, who had to make that late transition into the 19 car. But these two young men, they're going to be, you know, if they don't get a win this year, Jerry, they're going to be easy favorites to win next season, because they've certainly developed into pretty good Cup drivers in this this regular season so far.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I play fantasy every week, and I had Kyle, I had Eric, and I had Matt Kenseth, and I had Daniel Suarez. A couple of the other guys I had didn't do as well. But, you know, other than that, you know when you're seeing these guys run up front as good as they are and as much as they do, you know, if you get a top 10, you can get a top 5. If you get a top 5, you can get a win. And Eric Jones was really close last night. And, you know, it's just a matter of time. As Kyle Busch said after the race, it's not only is it a matter of time until Eric Jones gets a win, it's a matter of time until Eric Jones gets on a roll.
Yeah.
And when he gets on a roll, he'll get multiple wins.
Well, I think I need you to pick my fantasy lineups from now on, because my lineup stunk compared to what you had. Apparently, but you know, for all the criticism he get from some parts of the fan base, Kyle gets for going to the Truck Series and going to the Xfinity race and winning so many races that he does, it's still got to stand there and marvel when he can pull off another weekend like this where he wins three races. If you just, you know, you put aside if it bothers you the fact that he goes down into those series, it's still remarkable that he was able to win three races this week at Bristol.
You know, he's done it before. I think he's the only guy that's ever done it.
Yep.
But here's what's really good. Fans, listen up close. Listen very closely. He's cut off. His wife said that's it. He's got one more Xfinity race for the year. The rest of it is Cup. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to hate him in the other series. He's not going to go down and win everything. So, you know, it's Cup only after one more Xfinity race for Kyle Busch. So it'll be the other guys that are battling out down there in the trucks and the Xfinity. But man, it's phenomenal. I like Kyle. Sometimes he runs me the wrong way, and he admitted that last night. I asked him a question about his place in the sport. Because he's destined for the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, depends on the day as to whether or not, you know, I'm good to the media or not. And Kyle was in a great mood last night. Of course he was. I wanted to ask him, I was like, you know, next, you know, in 2 weeks when we're at Darlington, you know, can you carry this over, you know? but we work with these guys every week, and Kyle is a phenomenal driver. And as Kyle Larson said last night on the tweet, put the GOAT emoji on his tweet and said that Kyle Busch was one of the greatest drivers that he'll ever see in his lifetime.
Yeah, I agree. And not only does he continue to do it, you know, in the Cup Series and when he runs the Xfinity and Truck Series, Kyle still, just like Larson, Kyle will spend his off time. He'll go run late model races, you know, Kalamazoo, Berlin. He'll go run some of those big late model races out Midwest. Kyle's also one of those guys that's still not afraid to go have some fun with the short track folks as well, too.
Oh yeah, you know, like I said, he told us all last night he's Cup only for the rest of the season after one more Xfinity race, but it's great to have him. I actually like Kyle being in the other series, and I talked to the drivers, you know, different drivers that I have, Garrett Smithley and some of the up and comers that are not in the best equipment, but not in the, you know, that they may never make it to Cup. They want to, they're trying to, they just need the right deal. But one of them told me, hey, I got behind Kyle, and he showed me where I was going into the corner wrong. It wasn't that Kyle was helping.
Mm.
Watched how Kyle did it, and he picked up a few tenths of a second on his lap times because he watched that veteran driver on how he was getting into the corner. So for everybody that thinks that it's bad for Kyle to go down there, he's actually, even though he's not taking them by the hand and teaching them, they're learning from those top drivers, whether it be Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano, whoever it is. When they drop down in the lower series, those younger guys, they're looking, and they're the future of our sport. They're looking to see what these older guys, these veterans are doing so that they can get their game better.
Jerry, appreciate the time this morning. Like, I know, again, late night for you with all your post-race responsibilities. Real quick, just tell the folks, what can they see over with your work with the Performance Racing Network and also kickinthetires.net?
Well, at Performance Racing Network, I'm the producer for the Daily Garage Pass show. You can go to goprn.com on the internet and go to the Mark Garrow's Garage Pass. I put that show together and do some news with Mark from time to time. At kickinthetires.net, I have a staff of about five riders plus myself. We cover every race, and plus we branch out into some of the IndyCar and some of the open wheel stuff, IMSA sometimes. So you can find pretty much all NASCAR and a few big races from some of the other series at kickinthetires.net. And you can follow me at JerryJordan_KTT on Twitter. Would greatly appreciate that. And Aaron Bearden and Caleb, my reporters that were there at the Capable Whistler, was reported there at Bristol last night. Appreciate all their work and, to bring the race fans and the readers of Kicking the Tires the stories that happened this weekend.
Jerry, it was good to meet you. Watkins Glen, thanks for the time this morning. Hope we can do it again soon.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Jerry Jordan from the Performance Racing Network and kickinthetires.net. Kicking with no G. Kickinthetires.net. Just so you get it right. Before we go to break, of course, Kyle Sweep at Bristol, the other guy to win a race at Bristol this week. It's from Orchard Park, New York. Patrick Emmerling won the NASCAR Modified Tour race on Wednesday night. First career NASCAR Modified win, and what a place to do it at with lots of NASCAR people watching him. And I caught up with Patrick last night after the race at Lancaster that he run. Didn't have a good night at Lancaster last night, but I was still pretty in a good mood about that win Wednesday at Bristol. So here's Patrick Emmerling on WGR's Fast Track.
Well, Patrick, congratulations. I know you were full-time on the NASCAR Tour for a couple seasons. You kind of scaled that back, but still hitting the big races. But it just had to... I probably can't describe how you felt in victory lane there at Bristol Motor Speedway on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it was awesome. That's stuff we dreamed of doing a long time ago, and that's what we worked towards, and that's... it's a fact. We went there and we were able to do it. That's a big confidence boost. And I think, I think we could have got, we were in position to win many more races. And I think, with that as a confidence boost, I think we'll definitely be in the hunt. We've always been, in the last, year, 2 years, we've been in the hunt to win some of them races. But, especially Loudon and Bristol, we were always fast. And Loudon, we were always fast. And then this year, we've been even, we made some little improvements, and we made our stuff even better. And, we've made our stuff better in the ROC here as well. But it hasn't been showing just because, things just haven't been going our way as it did last year. But, I think, I'm driving better, and I think we got better cars. So I think we're just going to kind of get better moving forward.
Couldn't believe how the night was going at Bristol, fast in practice, on the pole for the race, getting out front there. It just, everything seemed to go your way, and everything kind of went your way that night.
Yeah, to show up, be the fastest, get the pole, win the race, that's what we show up to do. So, that's what we try to do every single race. And so, but in that series, it's really, really hard to do. So you got to be on your game, and you need to have, everything needs to go right for you. So you need to be on your game, you need to do your homework, and you need to refine your whole program and to be doing that stuff in that series. And that's I think what we did, and we've just been getting better and better, and then and finally we were able to have an awesome car, and we were able to take care of it. So,
and of course, not only are you getting better at the driver, but you got a great crew behind you with Jan and Mike Leedy and everybody that helps out with the ROC program and the NASCAR program, and it's certainly a team effort too.
Oh, definitely a huge team effort. Jan, learned a lot from him over the years, and then Mike helps me out a lot. So, you know, we share the same, you know, we'll split up in the ROC, but, you know, it's all the same team. So, you know, we're always bouncing things off each other, you know, here at the track, even though we're competing for the win. We're both competing for the championship. So, you know, we're teammates. Sometimes we get into it a little bit. Like tonight would have been a complete show between Mike and I. It was going to be either Mike or I who were going to win that race because we both had our strategy perfect, and we were both in really, really good shape there, so we would have been really good.
And last thing, kind of interesting, right before the race, you got sponsorship from Salen's Hot Dogs, a big Western New York brand, big racing family, Joe Salen, their sports car background. How'd you get hooked up with those folks?
We just kind of, you know, knew him through some mutual friends, and, you know, and sometimes we, you know, we saw each other around and stuff like that, and then, so, yeah, I think, you know, it's really cool, you know, the hot dogs are good, so.
You've been eating plenty, I bet.
Oh, yeah, plenty.
A lot of times a guy wins a big race or gets a first win, your phone blows up. You get any interesting phone calls or text messages since you won?
Oh, big time. Big time. A lot.
Congratulations. I wasn't there to watch it, but just watching, following on Twitter from home, all of Western New York was behind you and glad to see you finally pulled one out.
Yep, thank you.
There's Patrick Emmerling again, picked up his first career NASCAR modified tour win at Bristol on Wednesday. That race will be shown on TV. I think it's either Friday or Saturday this coming week on NBCSN. They're going to show the replay. Actually, in the break, I'll look that up. So when we get back, I'll give you the exact time. When we get back as well, we're going to be joined by Indy 500 winner Takuma Sato live from Pocono. That is coming up next, and much, much more, including your phone calls at 803-0551, 888-552-550. When we get back with more Fast Track here on WGR.
This is Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's Toyota. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
There is the man behind the Bristol sweep this weekend, Kyle Busch, getting the win in the Cup, Xfinity, and Truck Series races this weekend at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Hey, by the way, that modified race that Patrick Emmerling won, that will be it's Saturday at 3 o'clock on NBCSN, so you can tune in then, or if you're headed to your local track on Saturday afternoon, you could set your DVR to check that out. IndyCar in action today at Pocono, and we'll have the race right here on WGR, courtesy of the IMS Radio Network. Coverage coming up, I believe, at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And we're going to go to the AT&T hotline right now and bring in the pole sitter for today's race, the ABC Supply 500. He is also the reigning winner of the Indianapolis 500. Takuma Sato joins us on the line. Takuma, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you.
Good morning. Thank you for calling.
Takuma, first off, I know it's been almost 3 months, but do you still have to pinch yourself when people refer to you as the winner of the Indianapolis 500?
Oh, still crazy down here in Pocono and in a paddock, everybody naming and my name, and congrats on the Indy 500. And I think they are really happy to see the 500 winner come to the Pocono 500. Just, you know, there is some common things, and they love the speed, and I love the Pocono personally. So, yeah, very, very excited moment, and very happy day yesterday.
Yeah, and things looking good for possibly your second win of the season today at Pocono. As you start on the pole for today's race, is there a little bit of crossover from how you race Indianapolis to how you race Pocono? Are there some similarities since they're two big, big, wide, fast tracks?
Yes, I think there is some similarity. Obviously, the 500 miles race, or, you know, 6 or 7 times pit stop, it just makes, in a good way, some predictable race. So, you know, no one knows who is going to be on the last lap until the last lap. So it's a very exciting race, always, as always. And the Pocono is, as people say, tricky triangle. It's a very unique, you know, turn one and high banking, and the car's more stable in turn one and understeery-ish, but then at turn two, it's going to flatten. Turn three is almost like a zero banking for a driver to get in the car, fighting on the car on the neutral to the oversteer. So we have to use a lot of the tools to compensate on that one, as well as the driving style is slightly different from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But nevertheless, in a long straight, and it can be, you know, 4 wide, 5 wide usually. And then I remember that 2 years ago on the restart, I was in 7 wide and taking from the inside. So I think the Pocono is always an exciting one. And, yeah, as I said, in a 500-mile race, it's a big, long race. And I think the fans are so excited here.
With starting on the pole today, how much does that affect you and your team's strategy for playing the race out with pit stops and everything? Do you approach the race differently, knowing that you're going to be right up front at the start, and maybe plan your pit strategy a little bit different than maybe if you were starting in the middle of the field?
Well, certainly starting front is always help. You know, I mean, clean air, you know, less you know, aggravation going to turn one. So it's basically you take the lead or possibly on second. That means you're controlling the race, which is much better than in the mid-pack to the end of the pack, because that's it's a significant amount of the turbulence, and it's made you very difficult to set up the car. But I hope you know, we have basically make sure it's no bad luck, and we have a clean race. And you know, as I said, 500 miles race, you know, you can have so many other things. So
sure.
I think the qualifying one race, one part, you know, I think it was yesterday was great. I think 26 boys did an outstanding job, and I can't thank enough to Michael and the entire Andretti Autosport Sports. But today is a different day, and I think today we really need to head down and do a job, a solid performance. And then if you are in top five in the last stint, I think you have a fair chance to just challenge for the win.
Takuma, last thing before we let you go, of course, we here in Buffalo, we're just a couple hours away from Watkins Glen International, and you're going to be headed back to the Glen Labor Day weekend. What did you think about racing at the Glen last weekend with the IndyCar Series, and are you looking forward to the race there in a few weeks?
Very much so. You know, my natural background has come from Europe, and I love the place like Watkins Glen, and it's a special historical track, but as a road course, I think every single driver really enjoyed that, particularly challenging in the track, you know, where the nice high speed of flowing and middle of the woods, and, you know, and obviously Pennsylvania, New York State. So I think you get a lot of great fans, you know, from a big city. And, you know, it's great. And then in addition, you know, in Watkins specifically, you know, general admission ticket take you in the garage area, which no other places do. So I think it's great for the fans to get to the knowing the drivers and, you know, cross to the favorite car, whatever, you know, you can see everything. So I think, you know, Watkins is a great place for the racing as also the fans.
Takuma, I know it's a busy morning on race day. You just got out of your driver's meeting. Thank you so much for the time. Good luck today at Pocono, and we look forward to seeing you at Watkins Glen in a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much.
All right, Takuma Sano, the pole sitter for today's ABC Supply 500 at the Pocono Raceway. That is here on WGR coming up this afternoon. Also be on NBC Sports Network on TV. And the IndyCar Series, they've got a stop at Gateway near St. Louis next weekend. And then it is off to Watkins Glen International for the Verizon Grand Prix at the Glen. And all plans are for us to be there live and to do our show live from Watkins Glen, just like we did a couple weeks ago for the Cup race. Right now, plans are to be there for the IndyCar race and do another live show. They added another division. It's like 6-7 divisions of racing at the Glen IndyCar weekend, you know, with the Road to Indy program with the IndyCar Series and their support divisions like the Indy Lights and everything. But they just added the Stadium Super Trucks to IndyCar weekend at Watkins Glen. They made that announcement last week, and if you've never seen the Stadium Super Trucks, the series is owned by Robbie Gordon, and think back to maybe the old Mickey Thompson Off-Road Stadium Series that used to be on ESPN in the 80s and 90s. It's like that, not on dirt though, but they do put ramps on the course, so I'm excited to see that. They got a race on Saturday, and they have a race on Sunday morning, so even if you're going for the IndyCar race on Sunday, get there early and check out the Stadium Super Trucks with Robbie Gordon, and he's got a talented bunch of drivers. Ari Leyendyke Jr. is in that series now, so that should be fun as well too. That was just a recent addition to the IndyCar schedule. Right now, let's turn our attention to our in-studio guest here this morning, and want to welcome in local racer. Well, he started selling copies of Gator Racing News in the grandstands at racetracks around the area, but he also is a race car driver, and he's turned into a pretty darn good race promoter. Jody London is in here in studio. Gator boy, what's up, man?
What up, Dave?
Well, you've got a big race coming up here on a Friday night at the Spencer Speedway, and it is the Dave London Memorial. And what is this, the ninth year?
This is the 10th event.
10th event. So and this race is in honor of your father, Dave London, who passed away, unfortunately. He was a former street stock, super stock racer in Spencer. And real quick, before we get into the race itself, what after he passed away, what led you to kind of start this race promotion? I know it's bounced around at some different tracks throughout the years, but what got you to do this race in your dad's honor?
Well, it was a real easy thing. It was basically I was just talking with my friend at a Motorsports Expo, and we were standing right next to Meshack, the owner of Wyoming County International Speedway, and that was where dad won his first championship after so many years of trying. Jim just walks over, goes, "Hey, your dad won the first championship here. When we just went to asphalt, I want to do a memorial race for your dad's race." I'm like, "Cool, okay." I just thought that'd be cool to have a dad's race, and then all of a sudden he said, "Yeah, sure, let's do it." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, we got a race done."
And it's turned into quite the event. Not only is it just a big race for super stock cars, but you work your butt off all year long. This is like a year-long promotion for you, and you go and get lap money and contingency sponsors, and there's a lot of money on the line for these super stock guys this Friday night.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of money, you could say that.
Do you have a number how much you've collected in lap money?
So I was actually waiting for today to actually announce it, that officially we have over $15,000.
Wow.
In for the super stocks. So it's $2,000 to win, and it's $350 to take the green, and then you got the bonus sponsors, and then you got the lap sponsors.
Wow.
So it's just a lot of money.
That's a lot of money for any division these days, but especially for a quote unquote support division like the super stock. Not obviously downplaying the class, but just they're not a headline division like a modified or maybe even a late model or the sportsman these days in pavement racing locally. But that's an amazing purse. And the best thing is the driver support it. What is it, like 50 guys you've got pre-registered?
I was just on a phone call, as you saw me on In Studio, and he told me just now we were over 60 registered cars.
That is unbelievable. 60 drivers pre-registered. Any track, some tracks are lucky to get 60 cars in the pits for 3-4 divisions on a race night, but for one division to get 60 cars, that is amazing. What is it? You're going to start, 26 on Friday night? So there's going to be a lot of the heat races in B main, C mains. It's going to be crucial.
It's going to be gnarly. We'll put it that way.
Who are some of the bigger names that are going to be attempting to qualify on Friday night at Spencer?
Right now we got Chris Finocchiaro, just the most dominant guy of the group of the NY Superstocks. I mean, we got Gulo coming from the Southern Tier, and Gulo's been, the Dale Earnhardt of the group for this race because 2 years ago he dominated, ran out of fuel. Last year he was dominating completely and just broke the distributor, would tend to go, and lost the race. So he's coming. Jimmy Steffenhagen's coming out of retirement again. So he's going to be in that. And, I mean, you got so many more guys. I mean, Tommy Catalano, after a second-place run last night in the ROC Mod, he's going to get back into a super stock and run dad's race. So it's just, you got big names coming in for that.
And you also are doing something for some of the other divisions that are running at Spencer on Friday night, too.
Yeah, we got the four-cylinder race. It's called the Grandpa Dog Memorial Dash for Cash race with Dave Himes. And, that came over the hockey game. We were at, me and Dave go to hockey games on Friday night for the farm series for the Sabres, which are the Amerks. And we're there and we're drinking beer. I'm like, "You want to know what dad's race needs?" And he goes, "What's that?" I'm like, "They need another race." And he goes, "Well, what race do you want to put on?" I'm like, "I want to put on a four-cylinder race." He goes, "Why do you want to do that?" I'm like, "Because I just love these cars. You can just slam, bam, and whack them, and they put on a fun show." So, and that's how it started. And, we got that for $528 to win for a four-cylinder race. So
that's pretty impressive. Jody, I know this is kind of your life's work almost, is this race in your dad's memory. Literally, I can tell it's a year-round promotion. You do a heck of a job. I wish you the best of luck with weather, hopefully, this Friday. I know it's been a rough year for weather, but it sounds like it's going to be a great show, Spencer Speedway, Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long, long time working. I mean, myself doing this for 10 years, NY Superstocks, they started from nothing and built it up into this ginormous monster that it is right now. And I started from nothing and brought it to where dad's race is now. Dad's race, the first race ever, lap money was just $628. That was, that was the first year. My idea was just to get all the first laps sold. Now, you got over $15,000, and I kind of annoyed everyone to get to that, but we got to that.
Very good. That's this Friday night at the Spencer Speedway in Williamson out near Rochester on Route 104, the Dave London Memorial, the 10th edition of this prestigious race for asphalt superstocks in Western and Central New York. Hope you check it out. Jody, thanks for hanging out with us. You can stick with us for the final segment, but we got to head to break. We'll come back. We'll hit the local racing roundup and wrap up this edition of Fast Track here on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan from my friends at Batavia Downs. You need to discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, as they have over 800 of the hottest and in-demand video game machines right inside there at Batavia Downs, and they're adding new games all the time. They're keeping it nice and fresh and lots of fun, and what a great way to spend a night at Batavia Downs. You can go there, play all the video game machines, check out the live harness racing, of course, place your wagers on that, grab a bite to eat in one of their restaurants, and of course, now you can even spend the night at the hotel that they have there right on the grounds at Batavia Downs. My favorite thing about Batavia Downs Gaming, of course, is 34 Rush. That's Thurman Thomas's restaurant right inside Batavia Downs. Go inside, grab a bite to eat, an adult beverage or two, and check out all the action on the 15-foot projection screen, all the HD TVs they have there, all your favorite sports, horse racing, auto racing, baseball, soccer, any sport, you can find it there inside Batavia Downs. And again, they roll out that huge projection screen for those big sporting events. Batavia Downs Gaming is open every day from 8 a.m. until 4 a.m., and they're right off the thruway exit 48 in Batavia. You can't miss them. For more information, be sure to follow Batavia Downs Gaming on Facebook and Twitter for updated info on all their promotions, and discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, and tell them you heard about them right here on Fast Track.
It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
And we'll start with the action Friday night at the Ransomville Speedway. They got a show in, luckily. It was been a long, wet year, unfortunately, for the folks at the Big R. But Tommy Flanagan got the win in the modifieds, the 350 modifieds over Ryan Soucy and Eric Rudolph. Greg Martin got his first win of the year in the Sportsman. Jake Stefanski in the Street Stocks. Ashley Bleck getting her first win in the Four Bangers this season. And Kyle Wendt in the Novice Sportsman. Ransomville is in action tomorrow night, actually. They've got a special Monday night show at 7:15. It is a full card of race. Plus dollar hot dogs tomorrow night at the Big R. Lancaster Dragway getting their first race in a couple weeks as well, thanks to Mother Nature. Mike Malaire got the win in top eight. He was 0-4 in top eight final rounds until Friday night when he finally got his first win of the season. Dan Sejic got the win in top ET. Keith Banas in mod. Vic Pugli, a second straight win in bikes and sleds. And then it was John Vukovic in the street. E.T. and Alexander Young got the win in the Junior Dragsters Freedom Raceway on Friday night. They had the super late models there, and Dave Hess got the win over Greg Oaks and Max Blair. Somebody beat Max Blair. Say it ain't so. Bill Demig in the Pure Stocks. Tyler Walker, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, got the win in the mini sprints, and Brad Shepard got the win in the mini stocks. Saturday night action. Genesee Speedway got rained out. Lancaster had the Race of Champions Modified Series for the Tommy Drewer, Tony Jankowiak 110, and there was some rain at Lancaster, but we pressed on, got the show in, made for a late night, but still good to get the show in the books. And George Score III got his first career modified win after taking advantage of a restart that went awry with about 40 laps to go that took out Patrick Emmerling and did damage to a couple other of the fast cars early in the race. Score took advantage and was able to hang on for the victory over Tommy Catalano and Andy Jankowiak. Rich Sharp got his ninth win of the year in the street stocks, and Dave Milbrand Jr. Got the credit for the win in the four cylinders last night at Lancaster. Merrittville Speedway last night, and it went to Cole Hardy in the mini stocks, his second win. Rob Murray, another win in the Hoosier stocks. He's been on a hot streak here late in the season. Brent Bigelow, seventh win of the year in the mod lights. Greg Rauscher, another win in the novice sportsman. Brad Rouse got the win in the Gabe Belante Memorial for the King of the Crates. Caution-free 40 laps. Brad Rouse the win over Bigelow and Matt Farnham. And Gary Lindberg got the win in the 358 modifieds over Matt Williamson and Chad Brockman at Merrittville on Saturday night. Humberstone Speedway back in action tonight. They've got another full card of racing at 6:30. And I believe tonight the World of Outlaw late models are down at the Erie Speedway in Erie, Pennsylvania, tonight as well, too. It's about as close as you're going to get here in Western New York to see the World of Outlaw late models, as they don't get too much closer here to Western New York throughout the season. So I'm pretty sure that's tonight. I will have to double check that. If it's wrong, I will tweet it out or something. I apologize. Again, Monday night, Ransomville Speedway. And then back in action, all the your regular tracks. Friday night, again, the Dave London Memorial over at Spencer. Jody, thanks for sitting in with us this morning. Hope you enjoyed yourself. And stay tuned. Again, we'll have the IndyCar race coming up this afternoon right here on WGR, and it was really cool to talk to Takuma Sato and talk to the two most recent Indy 500 winners here over the last couple of weeks on Fast Track. NHRA also in action this weekend. They're in Brainerd, Minnesota. We talked to J.R. Todd last week, of course, funny car driver that's got picked up his first win a couple weeks ago. New national records in ET and qualifying. Leah Pritchett in top field went 364 at 330 miles an hour, and that was a national ET record. And Robert Height in funny car, 379 at 338 miles an hour. Both national ET records for those national event divisions. Tanner Gray, the number one qualifier in Pro Stock, and Hector Arana Jr., number one qualifier in Pro Stock Motorcycle there at Brainerd. So just wanted to get you an update on that before we go. We'll talk to you next week. We are down to our final two shows of the year, just next week and Labor Day Sunday, which will hopefully be at Watkins Glen for the IndyCar race. So coming down to the wire, we will talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.